And welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode 189. I am your host, James. Hang on a minute, that's not Will Wilson, Gilmore. And joining me in the pod today, we have Pocket Gamer Biz's John Jordan.
Hello.
And standing in for regular contributor James Gilmore, we have Will Wilson.
Hello.
Hello, Will.
I'm technically, because it's 13 minutes past, I'm technically a special guest.
I suppose you are. Any excuse to be called special, obviously.
That's what my mum told me.
Yes, and you keep... And that's why you take her with you everywhere?
Yes.
To bring her out when anyone says, oh, he's quite good, he's average. And you go, no, wait a minute, tap your mother. Mother, what am I?
He's bullying me.
she tells you to be quiet. Okay.
Well, as I'm sure keen-eared listeners might have noticed, things are a little different today. And there is a good reason for this, which actually is one of the topics of our first news story. So we're going to cut to the chase and go straight to the newsroom.
News!
Right, welcome to the newsroom. The fire damage is gradually getting a little bit better. The paint's up. They've got the primer up at least. Yeah. A couple of people have been let go because of irresponsible use of matches and white spirits.
You didn't have to say the real reason so early.
Oh. we're past all the metaphors and euphemisms now. I think it's time to come clean. Sorry. But, you can't get the stuff. So, as I said, things are a little different today. Will's dulcet tones have been replaced with my own slightly shambling ones. And there is a reason, but we should probably throw over to Will to explain himself. Will, why aren't you hosting this podcast?
Stepping down. As of 14 minutes from this recording, technically, I'm no longer the deputy editor. Again.
Do you want to tell us the bad thing you did?
What was the bad thing I did?
Tell us, what was the bad thing you did?
I did no bad things. Oh. Everything is fine.
Are we
and
sure?
And those bodies that were linked to me, finally. I've got to say, that's kind of incompetent. I mean, like, 3 years. It's taken that long. Anyway, that was nothing to do with me.
Anyone can have the same fingerprints.
Exactly.
Yeah, circumstantial at best.
Yeah. And I mean, cameras can be, adjusted these days with Photoshop.
What about fingerprints?
And witnesses can lie.
And hands can be swapped for other people's hands. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like confessions can be just,
just get on with it.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah. What are you doing, Will? Why are you leaving Pocket Gamer?
I'm leaving Pocket Gamer and I'm heading to a company which you're probably not interested in.
You're not allowed to say?
Well, I've already said it before. I'm not even sure if I am allowed to say, but yeah, no, I've said it before plenty of times. So yeah, I'm heading off to Natural Motion. You did give a quite a big clue last episode. I cut out me saying where I was going, you see. So I left the clue in because we did that.
I did hear the clue, yeah.
Yeah, the story of CSR Racing. So yeah, so that's where I'm heading. I'm going to be their web and community manager.
Are you sure? Was it something Keith said? It's actually quite sad that Keith isn't here today. It's.
Yeah, I know.
He should be here to say his farewells, but I'm sure he'll add an addendum.
He's out in Amsterdam, isn't he?
He is. He's interviewing Peter Molyneux, isn't he?
He's been Facebooking photos of his cocktails, so I'm sure he's having a wonderful time. He started that about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So.
Oh, wow. That's journalism. Excellent stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a long time. Actually, there was a news story thrown up on the site commemorating, I should probably say, Will stepping down from the podcast and from the site, which had some quite impressive statistics, which lists you as having 299 reviews, 1,282 news stories, 115 previews, 75 features, and 16 interviews. Slacking off on the interviews.
17 interviews now, because that's still and there's a couple of other ones that I did for Biz that aren't counted, I don't think.
Not that you're keen to have your wonderfulness around to the world.
not that you're pissy about any of those numbers.
I'm a little bit shocked that the interview numbers are so low, but What can you do?
It's all right. You've done lots of news. People know news because of you. So that's a long time. And obviously, we just hit the 100 podcast mark a few episodes back. So we had a bit of a knees up and a bit of a retrospective on Will.
There was another hint there. This is a bit like the episode, like one of those Poirot episodes where it goes, well, actually, I saw when you first walked in the room. I left a hint there by saying that my podcast...
Is it not like Usual Suspects where you have to now go back and listen to all the podcasts and hear all the clues? And you go, oh, of course, yeah, I understand.
Yes, Will is Kaiser Soze. We put it all together in the end. So, yeah, that's
sad news.
It's sad news. Sad news comes with some good news as well. So Mark Brown, who has been featured editor, is taking over in your stead. So now we're going to have Mark churning out the newses and all other good stuff on Pocket Gamer, which is a great game. And there's been some more reshuffling, hasn't there?
Quite a reshuffle.
In fact, John, a bit of reshuffling as well, no?
Yeah, over on BizWeek. I mean, I guess it's not... Reshuffling tends to be like when someone's been fired, isn't it? But I guess I've been fired. Maybe I've been fired. Maybe that's the No, I guess more promotion. Podcast expert Keith Andrew has been is now editor of PocketGamer.biz.
Wow.
So I've been kind of kicked upstairs to whatever they do in the executive boardroom.
The executive lounge. They probably drink cocktails.
Well, I'm hoping cigars and brandy, but I yet to find out. And James Nouch, our news writer, is now news editor. So it's all onwards and upwards.
Yeah. So the site may look a little bit different as the days push forward. Actually, probably.
I don't think it'll look any different at all.
Pretty much exactly the same with the same names minus Wills. But it's sad news. But
have I told you about CSR Racing?
Here we go.
I'm warming up.
Are you warming up? Tell us about CSR Racing.
Well, obviously before the podcast ends, you need to tell all the listeners what your new email address is going to be. So if they have any problems with CSR Racing or my horse.
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't joined the company. Well,
can you not guess? Will it be william.wilson@naturalmotion.com? I mean,
I think you just cracked the code there, John.
Yeah, I'm clever like that.
Well, I'm sure we can get hold of his email and spam him.
In a later podcast, we'll have to pass it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all just going to use it to
yes, exactly,
fake names
exactly.
And then come at me with like aggressive questions about how to solve issues.
About freemium. Oh, well.
It's going to be hilariously funny. Yes.
Yeah, it'll be good. Well,
anyway, should we move on to, proper news? Other things have been happening in the world, I believe.
Yes.
Well, speaking of absolutely nothing. See, I'm continuing the links, It's nice, isn't it? So, well, one of the big ones that kicked off actually today, it was just earlier on today, Charles Cecil, the chappie behind very, very popular point-and-click classic Broken Sword, took to Kickstarter just around about 2 o'clock this afternoon, actually, to launch a fund for a brand new Broken Sword adventure, so Broken Sword 5. So he's dived in. It's called The Serpent's Curse. And the idea is they're bringing back George Stobart?
Stobart.
Did they ever go away?
Well, as in bring back, as in they haven't been around for a little while.
Oh, I see,
while.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And the Nico Collard, I'm going to go with, because it's French.
Nico,
exactly. Bring them back together for the newest episode in the series. They've already half written it. They spent 6 months working on it already. But they've reached the point where they need some extra funds. So, as is the current trend, he has taken to Kickstarter and is looking for $400,000.
I thought Kickstarter wasn't open to people that aren't based in the US.
Yeah, but it has to be. I think it has to be. The money has to go to someone in the US. So Charles Cecil, being a well-known industry chap, I'm sure has someone who has an American address. He probably owns a house in Miami or something. I don't know.
They probably have a US branch, which is just like one dude in a room.
I don't think actually they do have a US branch because they're based in York. But I'm sure Charles has a trusted chap who can kind of look after that for him.
A guy with an internet connection and a bank account. That's fine.
That as well.
With a fax machine.
Exactly. With Revolution like taped to the door. That'll do. That's grand. So yeah, the idea is it's supposed to very much be in keeping with all the original ones. So they're going to keep 2D. The idea is actually they're doing the animations in 3D, and then they're going to render them in 2D so that it maintains the kind of classic broken sword feel.
It does look from the, they have, I mean, I don't think it's in game footage, but they have some, I guess, maybe some test footage or something.
Yeah,
or
that's right.
Stuff. It does look really nice. It's because just the way you can shadow stuff if you have a 3D kind of model. But I guess everyone kind of agrees that when they did the 3D broken swords for kind of console, you'd kind of lost something there. It's a different type of game, isn't it, from the classic point and click. He's up to 60, as we are podcasting, up to $63,500. It's not bad, is it?
One of the, I think it was Mark, not Mark Brown, but Mark P, was saying earlier that in the time it took him to watch the video, this is just when it had gone up, though, the money had actually gone up by $2,000. So it's going up very fast. Yeah, you'd imagine it would. I mean, like, broken
sword. I don't think he's going to have, he's not going to have any problems, is he?
Yeah. No.
So within how many hours? So within 4 hours of it going up live, he's already up to 16% of the
Even
total.
The notoriously anti-contributing money to Kickstarter Keith Andrew has said publicly that he's actually interested in it.
Well, it's pretty beloved, and it looks like going back to the 2D art, or sticking with the 2D art, is definitely a popular move, and people want to see more of this, don't they? And it seems to be a lot of point-and-click adventures that do quite well on Kickstarter, don't they? It's a good way of bringing them back. So, looks like that one's going to be heading our way fairly soon. It's supposed to be coming to iOS, Android later, provided they get the funding, but I don't think that's going to be a problem. Probably be done by the end of the week, I expect. Well, seeing as things are a little bit different this week and everyone's a little bit unsure on their feet, I thought we'd have something to put everyone back in a comfortable position.
Uh-oh.
We've got an iPhone 5 rumor.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't heard of one of those for...
What's the time?
Yeah.
So one of those. Outstanding. Well, actually, it's kind of a follow-up to a rumor we had before, which was the rumor went that the iPhone 5 was going to be having a different kind of display, referred to as an in-cell display.
Yeah, what does that mean? I have no idea what that means.
It's kind of...
It's inside a prison. Like, you have to... It's behind bars, so you have to reach in through the bars to activate the alarm clock or calendar.
That's almost exactly what it is.
Yes, I knew.
Yes, that's so good. Well, the idea is it takes the touch sensors and it kind of integrates them into the LCD display, like, directly. So you don't need the extra layer on top of the touchscreen.
Okay.
The benefits of which is it makes the device that little bit thinner, and image quality is improved, apparently, and allegedly lowers the costs as well.
Yeah, I imagine probably a bit more. I mean, we don't care about thinness anymore, do we? But I guess, cost is a bigger issue for Apple.
That was back in July, and now LG, the Korean manufacturer, are saying that they are making the screens. They haven't outright said we are doing it for the iPhone 5,
but
putting two together and the fact that they make the screens in the past, and
also they started going yes like that after the press conference,
looking decidedly smug and So it's a rumor, but it's, you know.
I guess we're going to have a lot. I guess we're in that time period now where we're going to, iPhone 5 rumor is going to be every week, isn't it? It's like,
I think it already was every week. There's going to be one every 5 minutes, then a roundup on the hour every hour, because you know there's an iPhone 5 coming out, guys. Did you know it's coming out sometime?
Well, we had this. Remember this is like deja vu, so literally a year ago, where everything was iPhone 5, and then it was not. It's iPhone 4. So okay, it looks the same as the other one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, if it turns out to be the 4SS. EX plus
but
alpha.
this one, the pin convert thing is more pins. Oh, it's amazing! It's gonna be more pins.
We've revolutionized pin conversions
by making less of them.
Yeah. Well, more of them, isn't it? Is it not more?
No, it's
is
less.
It is it less? Oh, okay. Well,
it's down to 19 or something. 20.
Well, the extra weight. I can't remember. No, it's 19. I can't remember
from a leaked photo. It looks suspiciously like I don't know, maybe it was the angle that was taken, but it looks like an IEEE 2964, whatever it's called, otherwise known as a FireWire. But I don't imagine it's going to be FireWire, because that wouldn't make any sense.
And the listeners care about this because?
Well, it could be cut out.
Yes.
James might be interested in it, though. He knows all this music stuff.
Yes, podcasty. We can tell you what to do now. Now you're not running the show.
You no power over me.
That's right. I have the scissors now, Wilson. Well, speaking of people getting cut out, it's
did
sad.
Did you just cut out my racist rant?
No, I'm leaving that in. That's in the special edition.
Oh, okay.
No, speaking of people getting cut out, PopCap have suffered some losses this week. Well, it's a kind of a mixed bag. They've got two pieces of news, one positive, one negative. The first piece of news, I suppose, which is a good thing, they've announced the sequel to Plants vs. Zombies. Finally. Hey. Yeah, which has obviously been ridiculously popular over iOS and all your platforms. And it's been kicking around for quite some time now. And finally, part two should be on its way sometime in 2013. Second half, they're saying. There's not much information about exactly what it will have in it. And the press release that they gave was...
I'm going to take a wild guess and say it would likely have...
Plants and Zombies.
How did you know?
See, it's this kind of incisive commentary that we're going to miss around here. Well, they haven't given us a great deal to work with other than some mad, garbled zombie talk nonsense. An example of which is spring is cruelest, curly, ungood time, and plants, with a Z, grow dull roots. So, you know, take from that what you will. But they're obviously being quite cagey about it. But yes, finally, it's on its way. So that's a thing to get excited about. Something to get less excited about is that they being PopCap, just let go about 50 employees from their Seattle HQ and have just announced that the Dublin studio is also, what do they call it? It's in the middle of an exploratory consultation, they say. Which is basically to work out what the future of the office is going to be and whether it will still be there in a week or two's time. So they've been cutting back. Now, they've blamed these cuts. Well, they've said one of the contributing factors to these cuts is free-to-play social games. They said they've exploded in popularity, and to quoting them, they say it happened fast, surprisingly so, and if we don't adapt, we won't be able to invest in new IPs. So... of course, they've previously been existing mostly, entirely on a premium model. It seems that the surging of freemium has kind of cost them.
I would say, though, they haven't released that many games in the past year.
It has been odd, hasn't it?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I remember last year's Gamescom, they had the Plants vs. Zombies out, more marching around the halls, which was, you know, I mean, even then it was a little bit old by that point. And then this year... so they weren't even with, like, I didn't see them with the other mobile companies in the EA booth. I think they were still somewhere around there. But, like, they've been releasing other stuff like arcade machines, like gambling machines of Bejeweled Blitz and free version of Bejeweled Blitz and stuff like this. And it's kind of like there's not been really anything from them, which is odd. So,
do you think they've been planning this restructure for a while and that's why they've been holding back and changing their strategy?
I think there's two different things here, though. I think, because what they've said is they're going to, like, in Seattle, they're going to lose 50 staff, but by the end of the year, they basically will have hired another 50 staff. So to a degree, you can imagine, you know, I know this is kind of a terrible metaphor, but for some reason, you're building a bunch, you're making some houses. So for a period of time, you need a bunch of people to dig holes. And then after you've dug the holes, you don't need people to dig holes anymore, so you fire them and you hire people who put bricks in a wall. You know, so a bit more precise than that. But I think the weirdest thing is the Dublin office, and that's kind of partly because I guess in the UK we have a bit more kind of contact with them because they handle the PR stuff for Europe. But the other weird thing is that the Dublin office has handled up to this point all the mobile development, so all the Java and all the iOS and Android stuff has been done through Dublin, and they also do a lot of kind of support stuff through Europe as well. So it's quite a big office. They don't really come up with new IP as far as I know at the moment. They're a bit more of a kind of support kind of organisation. But the mobile stuff they've done has obviously been really good and really successful. Mm. So and they in the press release they specifically mentioned, we've got to work out the profitability of the European operation. So it seems like they're going to shut the whole thing down, but it may be that they can kind of tweak it and keep some people there.
It's not been the best week for UK and Irish.
Well, no, there's been quite a lot of other things. Well, I mean, for the whole industry, it's kind of on Biz. Actually, we have like a big question going out to our Mavens panel, and it's kind of obviously we had the whole kind of on live thing that was kind of the end of last week where they sacked everyone and then rehired some of them, which is obviously isn't a mobile thing at all, but quite surprising. And then Sony Liverpool, which is studio that's been around in various forms for 20 years has been shut down as a development studio. Again, it still has.
They made Wipeout.
I was genuinely gutted about that.
I've had a few arguments about this because literally that studio hasn't made anything for 10 years apart from Wipeout and Formula One games. I mean, you can't. Yeah, I mean, there are good people there. I've met quite a lot of them, but in recent years, quite a lot of them had left and started new things because it's just, you know, however much you love Wipeout, you can't make Wipeout all your life. I don't think it's a massive surprise that that's been shut down. And big corporations just find it very difficult to kind of react to that. And if you suddenly have a company that's like 200 people, then you know, you might have a whole bunch of people, and your company was all about building holes because really everyone was like, we need holes. So you had a bunch of people who were brilliant at building holes.
I can't believe you're still going back to this metaphor.
The talent pool metaphor.
I'm trying to make it very abstract. And then people would go, oh, holes are so over. We don't need holes anymore. We need roofs.
Get the brick men in.
Yeah. So
well, people had accused them of it being outside influence from EA. They were saying that EA had a hand in this and was telling people to, you know, get lost, and they were responsible for putting the cuts in. But PopCap were quick to kind of say, no, it's not EA, this is entirely independent. And frankly, if EA weren't supporting them, then they would have had to cut more people. It would have been even worse.
I know the guy, one of the founders, John Venture, I've met him a few times. He's a genuinely nice guy, and I thought it was quite impressive that he quite quickly came up with that statement, because I think that played. Because I think you always get all these conspiracy theories, don't you? If no one says anything, certainly the on-live thing, everyone's just like, oh, what's going on? And all you need is someone kind of, you know, senior to just say, you know, it's really hard, this is what we're doing. But, you know, hardly anyone shuts down a company for ridiculous reasons. It's normally, you know, it's some sort of logical train of what they're trying to do. So,
well, on from that slightly sad news, I would say, to something that's frankly bonkers. Really.
Bonkers. I think bonkers is the only word that can be used to describe this next.
Yeah, it's just beyond. So, like, yesterday we stumbled Will stumbled across.
Actually, I'll be honest.
Come clean.
I saw a tweet from Eli.
Eli
of Touch Our Cage. Yes, and I wrote up the story, beat him to posting by about a minute.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then of course he tweeted back. I wonder how you found out about that game. I was like, well, you know, don't tweet it before you get your article up.
this is you getting all up in people's faces a day before
you go. Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that now. I'm just going to be backing away and saying, of course, your horse is absolutely fine. It just needs more medicine.
Placate the customer. Don't rile them. Yeah, well, so you saw a tweet and followed that tweeting link and stumbled across what can only be described as utterly mental. It is a game.
It puts the Unreal in Unreal Engine.
That's true. Yeah.
Indeed it does. It is a game which looks an awful lot like Infinity Blade in terms of the style in which you play it, but instead of having Infinity Blade characters, big old gods of war and such like, you've got Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, the president and presidential candidate for the American elections, fighting each other in this image on the White House lawn, one with a lightsaber and the other with what appears to be a sausage on a fork. Now,
I love the way you say appears to be. It could be some other object.
I need more time to analyse this picture.
I wouldn't like to. Yeah, this is clarification. I wouldn't like to go out on a limb. I'll get corrected. But and you think that's kind of mad, and it seems like some kind of novelty app that's obviously kind of capitalising on what's going on at the moment, capitalising on the elections that are happening. And you think, oh, I wonder who's ripped that idea off of chair.
Yeah.
And then you look at the publisher, and it's chair.
Yeah, so, I like the fact that it was because we had an Infinity Blade clone appear on Android recently, where some very fly-by-night developer had called itself Chair Entertainment US or something, you know, and then posted a fake Infinity Blade app up. So I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, right, it's going to be a fake app. But then all the related apps are Infinity Blade and stuff, and I was like, oh. This is a very convincing fake.
And this isn't a fake. This is actually Chair, actually reskinning Infinity Blade, it seems. And it's called Vote with 3 exclamation marks, so you know it's not messing around.
What sign is that, going by the Terry Pratchett rules of exclamation marks?
Well, the trip, I could possibly remember. Pratchett. But I assume three means you really have to vote. If one is like vote, another one, and two is vote, and third has got to be some kind of, you know,
basically someone screaming in your face.
Pretty much, yeah. So you really want to do it. Now, do you think that they're trying to genuinely? Is this supposed to get over people's voter apathy? They're trying to encourage people to do it.
There is a link to the I can't remember what it's called, the US register vote, you know,
registry office or whatever it is. Yeah.
No, it's because a lot of American, certainly a lot of American. Kind of young, what do we call them? Young people now. Young voters aren't registered.
Younglings.
So obviously the people who didn't vote last time, they're not registered. So a lot of people kind of student age in America aren't registered. So you get this whole thing about, you know, rock to vote and lots of kind of things like that that try and persuade people that they should vote if they're not registered to vote. So the first thing you kind of see on the splash screen is like hit the go to vote thing. It takes you to basically how you register to actually vote in the election. Mm. So that's probably a good thing. I'm just a little bit unsure why on earth they're doing it. I mean, there's some quite fun things. So you can choose to either be Obama or Romney, and it's logging those choices. So you get like a meter about who's been the most popular. I mean, obviously that's going to be Obama, I would imagine. But then it's quite. I mean, if we were going to analyze it in an in-app purchase type manner, you can't choose anything other than the lowest common denominator kind of options.
By which you mean?
By which you, I don't know, you get a microphone, I think, and the basic suit, business suit,
mm-hmm.
And then I didn't really play that much, and it's quite grindy if you want to like upgrade to the Elvis suit, the Elvis suit, and the sausage on the stick. So
alleged sausage.
Okay, whatever, Savoy. I don't know. It's just I find it odd. I can't think. You kind of think like literally, Cher and Epic don't need to make any money. So if they're doing it for like a public reasons, then it should kind of just not. Almost like not have money in it, because as soon as you put money in it, it kind of makes it a bit of a weird. What are they doing it to get people to vote, or they, you know, what's their meaning on this?
Most people have been scratching their heads over this one, just to try and determine what the drive behind it is, because it does seem a strange. It's a wacky thing for them to do, and at a first glance, you'd think it was some kind of weird ripoff or reskin. And the fact that it's actually them is odd. Like you say, they don't really need the money or the publicity necessarily, so. That aspect of it can be discounted. So you're left with kind of either they're just having fun, or are they trying to encourage voting? I don't know. It's just I don't know what to make of it. It's weird.
I don't really get it. I mean,
Either way, it's definitely a thing that exists. So if you do want to check out this craziness, and we warn you, it is a bit bizarre. Go to the App Store, vote 3 exclamation points after it, and it's
vote!
Free. Yes, vote. So. Go and have a look and just, you know, weird yourself right out, frankly. But that obviously wasn't the only new thing to arrive this week, so we should probably head over to the new releases roundabout and check out what's been out this week.
I've been here for a while. Yeah.
Don't know why I'm doing that, sorry.
Welcome to the new releases roundabout. It's busy, fairly busy actually today, more so than usual. I think there may have been some kind of accident further down the road, and we're getting, you know, a little bit of a tailback going on. So we're going to rush through these real quick before they all take off and start running over pedestrians. So kicking off, first one on the list, for iPhone, we have Lost Cities. By, as we were just discussing, the Coding Monkeys.
Ah, the Coding Monkeys.
The Coding Monkeys, you say? I thought you had some trivia about that, Will.
Yeah, they were the guys who did Carcassonne.
Did they? Oh, that's mad. Well, they've come in with a puzzle game from renowned board game creator. I'm going to go with Rainer Nitzia.
This must be his 130th game.
The guy churns it out, doesn't it?
It's crazy. If you do a search for his name, which admittedly is incredibly hard to spell if you're not...
Yeah,
I don't know which nationality he is actually. This is German.
German,
but yeah, if you do a search for his name, he'll appear. He'll just fill your whole screen with hit results. It's crazy. Awesome. Lots of different developers as well, because he's just a big board game, very proficient board game developer. Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems that it's easy to get confused with these ones because the details are fairly sparse. Apparently, you can compete against a friend or a stranger or AI opponents, and there are inverted commas a plethora. Single player and multiplayer achievements to unlock. I don't actually know what the game is or does, though, is the problem.
I haven't played Lost Cities, so I can't help you. I think someone did bring it to a board game session once. I'd imagine it revolves around exploring South American locales.
Uh-huh. Really?
Mix that with a dating sim.
Are you sure that's not Uncharted?
No, I'm pretty sure it's a South American set, this game, although I can't tell you what it's about. So.
Excellent. Well, I can tell you that, and from the screenshot that we have, I can tell you that there's an aggro monkey in it, whatever he is.
I think that's a player name, isn't it? I think.
I'm sure it's a character class. I'm almost positive. Or it could be a sausage. I don't know. One of those two.
I think you might find it's called a two-player solitaire with an extra portion of suspense.
Oh, very good. Ooh. Very nice. I like that. Are there a plethora of single-player and multiplayer achievements? Because I hear there
might
are.
Be. Mm.
Lovely. Well, either way, we've got a motor through, but that's now available for iPhone, and you get it for the quite slightly costly. It's $249.
His games always have imagine it's a licensing.
Coding
thing.
Monkeys as well.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, Carcassonne was $5.99, I think.
Ooh.
Mm. It was a lot.
Yeah.
For the app.
That's $2.49, or it's $3.99 in your dollars. So check that one out. Moving on, we have Toy Box by Barrel of Donkeys. My brain did want to say monkeys, but my mouth won.
So, I like this one.
Which
I
is probably this one looks quite interesting from the video I've seen. Tell us about it, John.
No, I played. I'm not quite sure how what kind of version it was when I played it. I played it at E3, so it's an Australian developer, and it's very very simple in a way. And I'm not quite sure how much further they've kind of taken the concept, but it's basically like you're doing two very simple things at the same time, but then because you're doing them at the same time, they become very complicated. So basically, the one part on your left hand is like a shoot 'em up. So you're controlling a little spaceship and typical top-down shoot 'em up. Just enemies are scrolling down the screen, you're shooting them. Mm-hmm. And then the other side is kind of like the simplest match three you can imagine, but using like children's kind of coloured blocks. So there's blocks drop down the screen, and you just have to. There's like four slots, and you just have to select the slot that it drops into, and then you make three, and it disappears, and then it gives you a power up. In the shoot 'em up. So you're doing these two quite different things. There's one you're just moving both hands laterally, but with the shoot 'em up obviously you can go up and down, whereas with the block you're just basically selecting which slot it goes into. I'm not quite sure how the longevity will work on it, but as a concept it's a very simple kind of a concept to get across, and it's nice, and the artwork is really really lovely. So I'm looking forward. I have just bought it during this podcast, so I will be interested to play to see just how far that
it goes. It kind of reminds me a little bit of in concept wise, not in terms of like the graphics and the execution, but like stuff like The World Ends with You and which one was it, Space Invaders Infinity. Where it had two games essentially playing at the same time, although in both cases there wasn't quite such a disconnect between the controls.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I guess hybridization is something that a lot of people now try to do, isn't it? It's kind of
quite interesting when it works. It does actually, for me, it feels a lot like a rhythm action game in the way that the beat sort of affects how you play the game, and it much the same way that sort of a different. Element of gameplay at the same time as another one means you get really sort of drawn in. You have to put all your concentration into playing games like that.
With both of your eyes. See, what it reminds me of is is that thing where you have to tap your head and rub your stomach at the same time.
Exactly.
That's the explanation.
Or is that video shows spin a basketball and milk a cow?
Yeah, which is tough if you've ever tried it. You go through loads of basketballs and milk goes everywhere. Anyway, if you like the idea of that terrifying analogy, then you can grab Toy Box for iPhone at the moment, and that's 69p 99 cents from the app stores. So, running closely behind.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yes, I know. Obviously, I learned from the master. Running closely behind all the other endless runners that currently exist. Basically, since Temple Run, there's been hundreds and hundreds of them all trying to, follow in its tracks and make $1 billion. The latest one in line is called One Epic Night by Simultronics, I'm going for. So these are the guys who did Tiny Heroes and Geodefense, that really minimal tower defense game with a black on neon that was quite pretty and fun. What it is another Endless Runner, 3D style. There's a kind of red knight all suited up in armor charging along. And, well, it's pretty much your standard Endless Runner fare. In fairness, it looks quite good and colourful, but I understand...
You get to pick up weapons.
Yes.
You get that's the big sort of difference. There's traps all lurking around, but you can actually pick up stuff like swords and axes that help you chop through enemies. And it's got. I like the fact it's got traditional AD&D enemies lying around. So there's the fantastically crap glutinous cube, which yes. I remember being completely terrified by in Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, because it was genuinely actually quite tough. It just looks crap.
Like rubbish jello blocks.
Yeah, it's just a big green jelly.
I think we've just reviewed this one, and it was, I think there was a slightly lukewarm reception from what I hear.
Mm.
But I mean, it looks quite pretty, and like I say, that it's nice to have a bit of an aggressive angle on it as well.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the, you have to say, I mean, I've probably bored you with this story a million times before, but I actually played Temple Run before it came out. It's like 2 years ago, and I was just like, that's a 7 out of 10. Yeah, I can't see it doing anything. Although, I have to say, at that point, it was a 99 cent game. So clearly, it came out as a 99 cent game, didn't do anything, and then when it went free,
yeah,
that was the thing.
It took off its free.
But I think it's interesting, those very simple games, it's that the more you make it niche by making it like a knight running through stuff, you're removing probably 60% of the audience. I imagine a Temple Run is probably fairly, at least 50-50 male-female. And as you make it harder and you have to pick up axes, then that's kind of like people are going, I don't do it to be difficult. I just do it to like almost, you know, killing time. So
you think it's going to be danger in making it not casual enough?
Well, I think if you have a very casual genre, to make it less casual is clearly going, it's clearly you're contracting your possible audience.
So, I don't know, if you, I mean, like stuff of, to go back to a PopCap game, I mean, Plants vs. Zombies, I know loads of people who like that game and don't play games normally. But that gets quite hard near the end. I mean,
Plants vs. Zombies is it treats, you know, with something like Dead Trigger, you play zombies and it's like they're running at you, and it's a first person shooter and there's blood everywhere and these machine guns. You know, Plants vs. Zombies is everyone likes sunflowers and there's like some hilarious zombies.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in terms of the gameplay and the detail, it does get harder, that game. I mean, it starts off very easily. But yeah. I mean, like, people who don't play games that often I know still like that game because it does have that element.
Right, I think still imagine Plants vs. Zombies versus Bejeweled. It's still quite
different. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll just say CSR Racing versus My Horse. Something you can maybe come back in a week's time and tell us about.
Well, they're both amazing. Don't, 10 out of 10 games.
Oh, they 10 out of 10?
I thought they might be. Well, if you're up for a slightly bigger challenge than a Temple Run, and you fancy the idea of pesky traps and fire pits and creatures and whatnot, then you can download One Epic Night. It's for free. Moving on, we have, from Beaver Trap Games, Mikey Shorts. So it's a colourful platformer, which, according to the blurb, boasts a League of Evil-esque control system. And you're a young boy who's on a mission to rescue his buddies. So it's basically a kind of, you know, classic 2D platformer, nice and colourful, going through a variety of locations, caverns and ice levels and all that stuff.
Looks very Mario, doesn't it?
So what have they got?
You're wearing shorts.
That seems to be
Ron Dungarees,
the defining characteristic. He's got shorts. It's all about his trouser wear. But 6 unique environments. Well, unique. Ice level, fire level.
Never heard of those before. Yeah. Amazing.
Nice one. These guys. I don't know where they get it from. 72 levels with a bunch of perils. And you collect gold coins. Who'd have thought it? It does look kind of Mario, but it's smart enough. So Mikey Shorts, quick burst on that. 69p. That'll set you back if you fancy
really?
A look.
Ah.
Yeah, 99p. So
quite premium to me.
Well, you'll have to cough up if you want to go.
The next game looks very freemium.
Really? Yeah. Well, I don't know. By who? Who is this? Is this unknown developer that I've never heard of before? What are they? Game Gammaloft?
Gammaloft.
Gammaloft. Yeah.
Gammaloft. From the system, from the Perseus system. They're bringing us Cosmic Colony.
They are. So it's their latest free to play. Apparently they've done more.
Oh, they've done loads. Apparently, I haven't played. I mean, like they're still a new developer.
Yeah, we'll see how they go. And if you skip through into the trailer, it's
oh my word,
an isometric building thing that looks.
People still make these games.
Oh yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Because you know that Farmville thing happened, and now no one can do anything else. No, that's not fair. But this one is
except for CSR.
Of course. Oh. 10 out of 10, aren't you? Yes, so you have to manage resources, imagine, in order to construct a constantly expand a space-based futuristic settlement. So, in fact, what was it Kerasoft's Astro's? Mm-hmm. What was it Astro Story? Epic Astro Story.
Yes, he looks a bit.
I think you're giving it a bit too much credit if you compare it to Epic Astro Story, though. I mean, there's not going to be any managing of resources here. It's going to be time.
So you have to defend your settlement from space pirates in mini games and build things and that stuff that you do with these kind of game love games.
This looks so old.
I don't like the art style. It's
no, I don't at all. No.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Should we move on?
We all kind of know what this is. Cosmic Colony by Game Loft, and that's free for your iPhone and iPad, so you can have a look at that. And there's another. Here's another developer who we've never heard of before. Shilingu. So One Tap Hero from Chilingo. If we click through, interesting blurb to go. What do you do when an evil wizard turns the love of your life into a cute and cuddly teddy bear?
Say thank you very much.
Give it a hug, I would have thought.
Oh, he's so sweet.
I look at him, he's adorable. No.
I'm talking about you.
Oh, me. Oh, I'm adorable too, yeah.
You're so sweet, yeah.
So, but apparently, no, you don't cuddle it. Instead, you try and transform the teddy bear back into a person.
So this looks quite nice.
Looks all right.
Yeah.
So,
have a bit of this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's platforming, action. It looks like lots of levers involved that appear to make the levels, the platforms, moving up and down. But rather than just a single platform, it's like moving the entire grid up and down, which looks quite interesting. Some of it with a fluffy teddy bear and some of it controlling a human companion. Quite colourful, bright, fair, looks quite chirpy. Interesting design for the teddy bear.
I know these guys now, actually. You know, now I look at who developed it. Yes, I've met them, yes.
Did you cuddle them, or did they turn into teddy
bears? No, I didn't cuddle them. No, I can't remember.
Were they giant teddy bears?
Yeah.
There was beer involved. I don't think we reduced ourselves to cuddling.
Yeah, you just stuck to
kissing. I love you. You're my best friend.
He just kept things business-like. Okay, so that's One Tap Hero, and that's for some monies. I'm actually not sure about that one.
99 cents.
I guess the 69. Yeah, 69p, 99c.
No, that looks. Because they're using the platforming, I kind of think that looks not bad.
Okay, well, the second offering from Chilingo this week is Jelly Cannon Reloaded.
Oh my word.
Yes. So we've got some blobs that look like the blobs from World of Goo.
Surely we have blobs that look like the blobs from Jelly Cannon, the original.
That's true.
But guessing.
If
it's reloaded.
They also look like the putty from that silly putty game.
I like that game.
Yeah, it was quite good, wasn't it?
Oh, this is from Nickelodeon.
Apparently, what you have to do is rebuild the recently shattered sun jelly, which is accomplished by squashing segments together using something called blurblings. So you've got a little crosshair on the screen, and we don't have footage, unfortunately, but it looks like you have to fire these blurblings, which will join things together and...
What are the blurblings?
There's a cannon in the bottom left.
Oh, the blurblings are the little black things black with colors. Eyes.
Yeah.
And you squash the sun jelly segments to make the big sun. Okay. Okay, right.
But we're kind of reading into it from this one screenshot that we have. But apparently, it'll have obstacles, hazards, and whatever else those things are.
So it's kind of a bit like a ragdoll blaster kind of. You have a cannon that it's like a 2D cannon side view. Isn't it? I think.
And you're shooting little black things to me.
Okay. Yeah. No. It's a bit 2010, but it looks nice.
Keith was here, he would say 2000 and late. So I thought I'd better fill that in just in case. Well, again, if you like to look at that one, Jelly Cannon Reloaded, 69p, 99c, also on iPhone and iPad. And finally on our list, I don't know what John's got to add, but we have Bug Invasion by BulkyPix. Which starts off with the controversial statement, everybody hates insects. Crush the insects.
To be fair, given how many times I've been bitten over the last couple of days by a damn mosquito, I'm in agreement.
I like spiders. I don't like insects, though.
So. Oh, spiders aren't insects, are they? They're arachnids, so it doesn't count.
They're fruit.
Yes, exactly. Like cucumbers.
You're getting your 5 a day, Will.
I'm a tarantula, and I'm going to try a black widow later on.
Well, to capitalise on everyone's apparent hatred of all things.
I've played this game.
And? What can you say?
I didn't think it looked that good.
No?
It looks okay. It's like a cute tower defence game, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a tower defence, right? Yeah. No, I mean, like, not in terms of the artwork, but I mean, it's very jerky. The animations aren't very smooth, and it feels all a bit sort of like I played an earlier build at E3, so maybe it's improved since then. But like, yeah, it kind of was a bit messy and a bit sort of all a bit. It felt a bit Java. Is that a bad thing to say?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think tower defense is difficult now, isn't it? I mean, there's only so much you can do, and you got three field runners out, field runners two out, and you know, you have the kind of like the more kind of like 3D tower defense stuff. So to go cute tower defense, I think it's a bit of a hard sell for people.
You've got to be really slick if you do 2D one. I don't think this has quite the slickness required.
It's a very saturated genre, and there's so many different options around.
And it's not really a genre that's done since even like the first Field Runners has done amazingly well, is it? Especially a lot of the games have come out, and no one's really done a good free to play field, kind of tower defense game that just sits in the charts. So they've tended to go for like paid games, and they kind of go in and out, and they. Shall I bash on with a couple?
Yeah, yeah, you go, Craig. Okay. That's 69p, I think, you can get that one for.
So I guess the definitely on the free-to-play, there's two biggish free-to-play games out. So one is Glu's Eternity Warriors 2, which is kind of interesting because Eternity Warriors was basically a reskin of Gumbro, which is Glu's kind of signature game. I certainly played a lot of Gumbro almost 2 years ago now. And so Eternity Warriors is basically like a reskin, so it's like a more kind of dungeon bashing, I guess Diablo style version of the Gumbro engine. Slightly different controls, but obviously it's been successful enough for them to kind of do a sequel. So all sequels tends to be kind of bigger bosses and kind of more weapons, and it's free to play. So if you want to play it, you're definitely gonna unless you really want to grind, you're probably going to want to spend some money to upgrade your character, I guess, particularly in the earlier stages of the game to kind of make some progression. The one thing about Glu stuff, they tend to be quite good if you want to do stuff like the incentivized downloads or watch a video to get some credits, or the game to get some credits. They're quite good on that, particularly on Android. So I don't know. I think Glu hit a certain market, and they deal with it very well. It's very kind of fast action. Not always the most kind of sophisticated games in the world ever in terms of gameplay, but they definitely know their audience and do very well with that. And similar but slightly different is Kabam, who made their really with the reputation on Facebook gaming, and have just been getting into mobile quite seriously over the last year. So they had a version of their Camelot game out, I think, in March for iOS. And now they've got their first game, cross-platform game, called Arcane Empires. So it's iOS, Android out now. Again, free to play. A kind of strategy city building with armies and a lot of PvP, which I'm seeing quite a lot of. Excuse me, from the biz point of view. So obviously PvP is quite interesting because it's multiplayer. So people tend to play the games a lot more. They're prepared to spend money because they want to like beat the other players. And if their city gets destroyed, they get very angry and then want to spend a couple of hours to go and bash the other players. So it came out yesterday. So I've just started playing it. It's quite nice. It's got like a steampunk kind of feel. The artwork is quite nice. I mean, it's 2D. So a little bit kind of slower maybe than some of the other games. I've been playing a lot of Clash of Clans, which is a kind of similar but 3D, a completely 3D game. So it'd be interesting to kind of see how I've been talking to Kabam, and they've got a bunch of games coming out, a lot of 3D ones. So I think this is maybe kind of the last gasp of their first kind of wave of mobile games. But it's quite nice. I would say again fairly up front in the fact he wants you to spend money on it, but I think people are prepared to spend money if they feel they're getting kind of entertainment from it. That's my gut feeling on that. But and very finally, not a new game, but a much loved iOS game, Doodle Jump, has just been updated with a ninja theme. So I'm sure most people will have heard of Doodle Jump, and a lot of people will have bought it at 99¢ on iPhone. But if you haven't had it yet, it's updated very regularly, and the ninja theme looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Also on that theme, just before we go away, Angry Bird Space has just been updated with the Red Planet update. So there's a bunch more levels to be had. We just posted a walkthrough up on the site. I think Mark's updated the walkthrough to accompany it. So that'll be a big deal for a lot of people. And it's obviously done in line with in support with the Curiosity rover. So there's a little cute promo where the rover discovers an ice bird and a bunch of pigs. And it's all rather jolly. So have a look at that if you're an Angry
Although Peter Molyneux is not very happy. Breaking news about...
Oh, yeah.
Rust Izzy, because Peter Molyneux's exciting game where we all tap on a cube for ages and some magical thing happens was going to be called Curiosity, and now they decided to change the name because they're worried about people typing in Curiosity to Google and going to NASA rather than his game, which is fair enough, I suppose.
They said it was the first rumors were that it was a problem with like copyright, and then it turned out that it's probably actually just search engine optimization that they were worried about. So a Peter Molyneux game has been delayed for a bit.
Although I have to say, over on PocketGamer.biz, sorry to kind of hijack the podcast, but new editor Keith Andrew has sat down on a park bench in Amsterdam with Peter Molyneux and had a long conversation about what he's up to. And I have to say, I've interviewed Peter Molyneux in the past, and he's a very nice chap to interview. But Keith has done a very good job with his interview. So yes, point your browsers towards PocketGamer.biz and read Keith and Peter Molyneux in conversation about the future of games.
It does read like they just sort of sat down having a chat.
I'm sure they just did.
That's kind of the good interviews when people seem a little bit more disarmed and they say things they probably shouldn't. It's great. And, you know,
I think Peter Molyneux during that interview did actually say that people, not all, but like some certain console makers are in an ivory tower that's sinking.
Sinking in the sand, isn't it?
The lovely, lovely metaphor, isn't it?
Love a collection of metaphors. That's a very extensive new releases roundup. I think we've covered all bases there. So we'll move away from that. But rather than going to our usual, what we've been playing fields, given that this is Will's last podcast and Will's last day with the Pocket Game family.
Yeah, technically I'm out the job now. I'm unemployed.
You have a job, you're unemployed. You're unemployed until Tuesday.
Every period. Yeah. Just make sure you don't say anything too nasty about CSR and you'll be
You mean
fine.
That 10 out of 10 top-notch game?
Do. Only 10 out of 10?
Oh, yeah.
11?
That's better. Toe that line, Will.
How high do you want me to jump?
Well, rather than doing the what we've been playing feels, as a kind of farewell, some of the staff have, well, most of the staff actually, have penned a little sentence or two describing their favourite memories, their favourite moments with the man himself, Will Wilson.
Oh.
Even people who unfortunately couldn't be here today.
Even people who've never met him.
Yes, even people on the street
had a stab.
Who I paid because I desperately needed some padding. Because, yeah. Well, if we start off in a kind of Will Wilson, this is your life sort of way, with Keith Andrew, who has been with you through thick and thin, podcasts and not podcasts, for the longest time now. And he sent a little message all the way from Amsterdam to tell us his favourite memory, where he says, "My favourite memory of Will is of the many romantic weekends we spent in Paris together." But for some reason, he doesn't like me talking about that. But I also liked it when he talked about flicking his balls. Which, if you've listened to the 100th podcast, you will understand. Because it made him giggle like the child that he is. But he's sad to see you go, and he'll happily make love to him if and when you require. And that's from Keith Andrew, the now editor of Pocket Gamer Biz, which is also
should I fire him? I don't know.
Too late now. Which has been sent from his Lumia 800, which is an important thing put at the bottom of the message because he does like people to know. So that's sweet, isn't it? Well,
I think yeah, sweet's a word.
Yeah, that's the word. Well, we've got some slightly less tawdry responses from Rich. So Rich, our editing man at Pocket Gamer, he says. Amsterdam, December 2011, Pocket Gamer Xmas Conference, a children's playground on the outskirts of the city. No, it's not that kind of story. A few members of the PG team had decided to form a splinter group and were headed east to a delightful taverna. En route, PG editor William J. Wilson spied an unmanned kids' playground. Making a beeline for the vacant playground, Rocking Horse, Agent Wilson didn't look sideways nor back. With a smile on his face, normally reserved for conjugal visits, Wilson mounted his steed. and I've never seen him happier. And I think there's photo evidence of that, isn't it?
There is photo evidence of that. That was hilarious.
Because I have seen you on a rocking horse. That was
quite sweet.
A little word from your successor, Mr. Mark Brown. Will Wilson, the man so nice they named him twice. Will has been a paragon of professionalism, an inventor of many funny voices, and an all-round good guy for as long as I've known him. He's helped me out more times than he's announced that he's given up smoking, and only stopped churning out quality content to swap in a new stick of RAM. Godspeed, Will. May you always keep up this astounding energy and never have to wait 30 minutes or pay 69p to top it up again.
Oh, very good. Lovely. I'm actually holding a piece of RAM that I had to take out of the computer last week.
He knows, you see. Well, James Nausch says, having
Nausch like couch.
Nausch like couch, exactly. Not Nooch, because that would be ridiculous. Having worked with Will on and off across a variety of projects, I can say with certainty that he is more willing than most to put up with my constant complaining and my tendency to label everyone that doesn't respond to an email within 3 minutes as a bastard. A consistently cheery presence during my time at PG, Will was always ready with a smile or an off-colour metaphor, and we'll all be sad.
You know what he said?
I'm reading verbatim. This is what's on the page.
That's brilliant.
This is brilliant.
And we'll all be sad to see him go. His dulcet tones will be missed by podcast listeners, his witty prose will be missed by PG's readers, and the absence of his vivid sexual chatter will not go unnoticed in the Skype room. Goodbye, Will. And all the best. Isn't that lovely?
I managed to groom an image of being a sex
groom. Team. Careful.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing we're talking about, Will. It's
pretty much everywhere now.
Oh, well, now you can groom horses, can't you?
Very good.
Yeah, he is. Moving on to Zhao. It's rare that I meet a man that makes me question my marriage. And by definition, my sexuality. Will and his passion for gaming have on too many occasions done just that. I'll forever remember one long chat about the Need for Speed series during a Steel Media conference, now too fuzzy to pinpoint, and which remains one of the most sensual discussions I've ever had the pleasure of experiencing. So long, Will Wilson. Thanks for all the sterling work, and may the road ahead be as smooth as GT5's 4x multi-sampling anti-aliasing. Wow. That's a good reference.
Mm.
I suppose we should finish the whole thing off with Mr. Chris James, who is the MD of Steel Media. He's the big boss man, who says, I still remember the first time I met Will in a London pub, with a roll-up in hand and wearing the trademark fleece and white trainers. I thought to myself, he seems like a smart guy, with a good face for radio. Suffice to say, he proved to have a great voice for podcasting too, not to mention a nose for news and an eye for editing. Shame about the other one, obviously. But in truth, there are so many happy memories, although I think it's the sinister laugh, the crazy stare, and the enthusiastic approach to a dance floor that will stay with me the longest. Although, jokes aside, I can honestly say that Will's been a great servant to Pocket Gamer and Steel Media over the last few years, and has genuinely earned all the praise and promotions en route. Although I am certainly sad to see him go, I do wish him the best for his future career, providing technical support to 8-year-olds complaining about their virtual horses.
Hooray!
So I think that's a candid assessment of your future there, Will. I understand why you must be looking forward.
I could press some undo, right?
at any point during this, no.
No, that's really nice of everyone. I won't read out my comments to everyone because they're basically a list of complaints. I'll save that for the email. You know, you've got to be harsh to be kind. Nice. That was always my motto when I was whipping the staff in the dungeons. I'm not allowed to talk about that, am I?
Before or after?
Have you not opened your leaving legal agreement yet? Which basically means many of the things that you saw. And now you're not allowed to comment on.
Well, I wasn't. I was actually. I've already got the photos of the, the room.
So. I don't think you do. I think you might find our Black Ops team have removed them.
Someone's at the door. It's odd. Before I.
You're hearing the helicopters.
I see a hot air balloon as well, bizarrely. PG on the side. I just want to say a very quick thank you to everyone. Thank you to the listeners as well for putting up with my ums and ahs and what's my normal phrase I say when I'm thinking? So, yes. There you go. I couldn't kick that habit. I apologize if you get annoyed by that. But yes, thank you. There we go. I did it again. Thank you for putting up with me for over 100 podcasts. Thank you very much to both John, James, Keith, Ben, Rob, Chris, Peter. I now start hammering it down, so I'm going to forget someone, aren't I?
Not you.
James as well, James Nouch. Mike. I'm saying about
your agent. What about your agent?
No, it's only people who are featured on the podcast.
God. Okay. Don't forget
God featured on the podcast, of course. That was a memorable episode. So thank you to all you guys for appearing on here and spending your evenings with me in the company of me talking into a microphone or more talking into our monitors. I will save all the thanks for being there on my email, which I have literally got in front of me, so I'm going to send that off to you guys in a second. But in terms of the podcast, many thanks. It's been fantastic. I haven't got drunk this episode, which is unusual.
But just on emotions,
aren't you?
Yeah, I'm already high. So thank you very much.
Well, from my perspective, I didn't get to add anything to this because I was busy putting this all together, but it has been a genuine pleasure. Well, thanks for inviting me on the podcast in the first place and teaching me stuff and helping me out when I was doing all the interning and all of that. So I probably wouldn't be here otherwise. And cheers. And good luck with the grooming. All the grooming.
I have to say, my memory of Will has been cruelly edited out. I don't know.
Did you what?
My best memory of Will, or not my best, well, my most clear memory of Will is I remember when we did the podcast and Will forgot to record it. That's all I'm saying. Let's not get too teary eyed.
That's why it was forgotten.
I really remember that.
I always recorded
classic Will
podcast. That's no one. These false rumors about me forgetting to record a number of times.
Well, I'm not going to laugh too hard because I need to make sure I've recorded this one. So I'll reserve my mockery until later. But yes, it's sad times, but new beginnings as well. So it's been great. Thanks for gracing us with your presence, Will, and hosting all these podcasts. It won't be the same without you. And
maybe when he's got his feet under the table, we can bring him back in as a guest, and
he can
comment on what it's like on the you know to make games, which I think, you know, as write about people who make games and what we think are good and bad about games, it might be interesting to see how Will's view on that kind of changes as well. So you know,
nah. I won't be up
too much. No, I'll just come back and say it's amazing. 10 out of 10. Well, I think that probably wraps it up for this one. But thank you to Will for joining us for the last time and for all the podcast times.
Thank you.
And thanks to John for joining us today. We will be back. Well, some of us will be back next week.
We're bigger than Will Wilson. I think
we're going to push on regardless. We'll try and keep you alive in various format ways. And I've obviously still got those quotes from the 100th podcast, which I can occasionally dish out. If we're all feeling a bit sad, we can listen to you talking about flicking your balls. Just to make us, you know, be like, those are the times. The ball flicking times. Anyway.
That's a good note to end on, isn't
it? It is. It's a cracking note to end on. So thanks for listening, everybody. We will catch you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.